This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49, Friday, the 12th of August, and you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, in conjunction with International Youth Day, we look at the passport to social mobility, which is education. Now, however, a recent headline in Utusan, Malaysia, said that the government statistics have found that 72% of SPM graduates do not want to continue their studies after secondary school and are interested in joining the workforce. It was also reported by the Education Ministry that close to 25,000 registered SPM candidates did not sit for the 2021 examinations.
This sort of suggests a dangerous trend of education taking the back seat in the Malaysian household, and this in turn has generated calls from various stakeholders to amend the Education Act 1996 so that secondary education can be made compulsory. But what is the reason behind the alarming statistics, and how should the Malaysian education system respond to resolving this critical issue?
For some answers, we speak to Hema Lechamanan. She's a senior lecturer at the Taylor's University School of Education. Now, between 2020 and July 2021, more than 21% of students had quit school. Should the government amend the Education Act 1996 to make schooling compulsory up to Form 5?
Hi, morning. I think there is certainly a need to extend compulsory education. If you look at the data from the World Bank, the average compulsory education for the world is at 10 years. We are way below that at only 6 years. I think it's time for the Education Act 1996 to be amended to extend the compulsory education, perhaps even up to 9 years first, until Form 3. However, in order for us to do that, we need to first make sure secondary education is easily accessible to all students. And that also includes helping young people break the cycle of poverty. As we know, most students who drop out are from low-income families.
Now, Hema, I was just wondering as well, because the 1996 Education Act only mandated education for up to primary school, the reason being was that there were a lot of rural students who wouldn't be able to get to school. I mean, that problem hasn't sort of resolved itself even till today. How do you think it would work if we were to get them to extend it up to Form 3, let alone Form 5?
I think we have certainly come far from 1996 to 2022. Of course, the pandemic has taken a backseat for the progress in education, development in education. But in terms of infrastructure, I think the government has expanded and there are secondary schools in many rural places. Of course, there is always room for improvement. There should be more secondary education, better facilities before we can extend this up to Form 3 as a trial first before we extending it. Because there are also other reasons other reasons why we can't extend it completely to 17 years old of compulsory education. So perhaps a good start would be to extend it to 15 years and then see how to go from there.
Okay, Hema, let's build on this. I want to know why. Why are these youths deciding to drop out of school after SPM?
There are several factors to that. One being poverty, the need to work after secondary education or even before completing secondary education. And you see that many students drop out even before that because of poverty. There is need to work to support their families. And higher education may not be seen as an immediate relevant to many of these young people. And they see there are other exciting jobs out there that don't require them to go into higher education. And having said that, there is also a need for higher education to revamp and to suit the needs of Gen Z and subsequently Gen Alphas. University is not just a place where students receive formal education, but also to be nurtured certain skills that are relevant to their work.
Hema, I was at an event yesterday with the Ministry of Human Resources. He was talking about mismatch in employment causing a certain level of underemployment. The minister highlighted the fact that perhaps the Ministry of Higher Education should do their job, because apparently to him, the education system is a bit outdated and churning out students who are in his words, unemployable. Is that the case? What do you think should be done to get to the root of this problem?
I think there should be a greater collaboration with the industry. So higher education should not be seen as just an ivory tower, a separate place. There should be greater involvement, and students perhaps should start internship right from year one of their studies, so that they know what they are expected to be doing upon graduation and when they enter into workforce.
Okay, at the same time, right, the education minister did acknowledge that the Malaysian education system has been rather stagnant due to unwillingness to make changes. So you've made one suggestion just a few moments ago, but what other changes needs to be adapted or included to adapt to the current labour market and the needs of employers?
I think universities first should be seen as relevant place for employment. And that includes having to acquire 21st century skills that are sought after by employers. And you mentioned earlier about how young people are deemed unemployed even after completing a university. And that is because they do not seem to possess these skills that are sought after. So if universities can be a place where they acquire these skills, that will make them much more sought after by employers. And that also means having employers coming into the universities to work together with the universities.
Okay, and I'm also curious, what can we offer to those 21,000 students who had quit school, and what policy should be in place to perhaps guide them forward or maybe even encourage them to return to education?
You see, there are many factors as to why young people drop out. Mm. One of the main reasons include poverty. Students belonging to low-income groups are more likely to drop out of school. And then there is also academic difficulty. So the inability to cope with academic pressure. And studies have shown that children who do not read proficiently by 9 years old are 4 times more likely to drop out of secondary school. So for these students, just bringing them back into the school and starting where they left is not going to be a solution. There should be an alternative pathway for these students. And for example, students are allowed to take on fewer subjects or retake subjects at different levels of difficulty. And this would encourage them to return to school, I think.
And you know, it's been a few years since the pandemic, and we keep talking about the need for schools and students to get to at least use digital means to be educated. But do you think the digital divide is something that we should really, that has grown wider, in fact, and that's one of the impediments as to why so many people are dropping out of school or perhaps not getting the right education that they need?
It has. And I think we all know for now, we're very sure that the pandemic has caused many disruptions, one being the divide in education and learning loss. One of the reasons that came about is because of the digital divide. And students not having enough gadgets or having gadgets that don't work, or you know, and digital education is important, but I think we need to, now that we are going into normalcy, or at least attempting to go into normalcy, we need to look beyond digital education to see how we can help these children catch up on their learning loss, how to recover this learning loss.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Hema Lechamanan, Senior Lecturer at the Taylor's University School of Education, giving us some reasons why children or youths actually drop out of school after SPM, why they don't want to continue. And you know, I read up on this. Apparently, the last comprehensive study that looked into the dropout problem was almost 50 years ago in 1973 under the Murad Report. So I think definitely we can do more in terms of data profiling, understanding the reasons. Helping them get back to school is one thing, but we also need to prevent it from happening in the first place.
There's just so much to unpack here when you look at it, the digital divide, the infrastructure, in some places it's just not not adequate for children, not suitable for children to go to school. I mean, the image of the students crossing the bridge over the dangerous crocodile-filled waters just comes to mind, right?
Yeah, and of course, the inability to afford fees. Mm. How are families facing this recent, you know, inflationary pressure, price increases? You know, and maybe yet, they feel that they need to drop out of school to contribute to the household income.
And yet education is just so crucial.
Very much so. It is still, whatever anyone says, right, the passport to social mobility, which is key. Up next, of course, the 8 a.m. news bulletin, followed by the Breakfast Grill, where Philip C speaks to the president of ASEAN and APAC distribution markets of Ford Motor Company. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.